In this podcast, we will be discussing graphic scenes that may cause audience to feel discomfort. Listener discretion is advised.
One of the worst school shootings here at Columbine High. 15 dead bodies.
What is turning out to be the deadliest campus shooting in U.S. history. At this afternoon hour, at least 30 people believed to be killed on the campus of Virginia Tech University.
The worst grade school shooting in U.S. history. At least 27 dead, 20 children, 7 adults, including the principal. And the gunman killed himself.
Another deadly school shooting. A high school in Parkland, Florida, became the scene of chaos and panic just before the end of the school day. At least 17 people are dead.
Hey there. My name is Jadine Cavahug.
And I'm Lila Schroff.
We're from Radioactive, KOW's teen workshop focused on creating radio stories and podcasts.
Today we are bringing to you the first episode of a two-part podcast on school shootings.
Except, we're not here to talk about politics. We're here to talk about the stories of two survivors of the Parkland shooting. To clarify, the Parkland shooting is also referred to as the shooting at Marjory Stoneman Douglas High School.
We'll hear about some of the things that you don't normally see in the news.
Like the things that hit close to home. The things that make you realize
that even though this is their story, it could have been any of ours.
Meet Danielle Gilbert. She's 17 and goes to Marjory Stoneman Douglas High School. She's going to be a senior in the fall. She's passionate about volleyball and math is her favorite subject in school.
And then there's Monique Miguel. She is 16 and going to be a junior. She runs for the school's cross country and track teams, and she loves art.
For the two of them, February 14th, 2018 was like any other day.
But it was Valentine's Day, so everyone was in a slightly better mood.
Like everyone was really happy and carrying around their balloons and their teddy bears and their chocolates and whatever.
However, in second period, we had a fire drill.
The craziest thing was actually that in the first fire drill of the day, I was in art class and I was talking to my art teacher, and we had just been through all this like safety briefings for problems on campus, such as like an active shooter. And I was asking her, well, what if a shooter were to like pull a fire alarm so everyone goes outside and then they just like shoot us? You know, that was that morning.
In fourth period, Monique was sitting in her study hall class.
I think it was 2:21 p.m. when the fire alarm went off, but we did think it was weird because we had a fire drill that morning.
The second fire alarm was not planned. It was the shooter that intentionally set it off.
I was in denial at first, but definitely the first moment that something was, like, off was when we opened the door of our classroom and we heard gunshots. And, like, me and my friends looked at each other and we said, what is that noise? Like, are those gunshots? And then we were like, no, no way, like, there's no chance.
Doing as one should in a fire drill, Monique and her classmates exited the classroom.
When we got downstairs and a teacher told us, like, turn around to run back upstairs, I just grabbed one of my friend's hands and I told him, like, let's go. Like, I don't want to be separated from you because, like, I don't know what's going on and I want to be with someone I know. So I just held his hand and we found, like, the closest classroom. We kind of just had to wait, like, to find out what the hell was going on.
Meanwhile, Danielle was on the first floor of the freshman building, room 1213.
I was in AP Psychology, learning about the psychoanalytic stages, and it was around 2:20 p.m. when the first gunshot went off. That noise couldn't have been anything else. We immediately knew that's exactly what it was, and my entire class dropped to the ground.
Our lives were completely normal at 2:20 p.m., and then everything went to chaos at 2:21.
While Monique was trying to evacuate a building on a different part of the campus, Danielle was stuck in the 1200 building where the shooter was.
When the glass shattered, a couple of the students in my classroom were like, is it fireworks? Is it bombs? And then one of the students replied, fireworks don't shatter glass. And my teacher screamed at us to come behind our desk, which is by the door but out of sight of the window. And we all got up and ran over. Luckily, we had enough time before he came to our classroom to actually get over there. And we went over, all crouched down and sat as together as we could. And we were there for maybe a minute, maybe less than that, when he shot into our classroom. Nothing was really registering. I knew exactly what was going on, but it wasn't processing in my head. After he shot into my classroom and the students were moaning and screaming, it didn't sound real. So I actually stood up and looked over the desk to see, and that's when I saw the injured students laying there in piles of blood, just waiting for someone to come and save their lives. But we ended up quieting them down because we didn't know where the shooter was and we didn't know if he was going to come back. I actually called my mom while it was going on, right before he shot into our classroom. So while I was on the phone with my mom, I was whispering, trying to get the words, shooter, shooter. But because I was being so quiet, she couldn't understand what I was saying. And because my voice was so shaky that it wasn't coming out correctly. So once she hung up, she said that for those few minutes that she didn't hear from me, she really didn't know what was going on. She didn't know whether I was alive, if I was shot, if I was dead. She really didn't know. And we were in there for about 25 minutes before the police came and took two of the students who were injured and brought them to safety and told us all to just get up and run and just leave as fast as we could. All of us just stood up and ran out of the building, and as we were running, we actually passed two more bodies that were on the floor and then just ran straight out, and at that point, it was every man for themselves after that.
With that, Danielle was able to find her way to safety.
Although Monique didn't witness the shooting firsthand, as she escaped from her hiding place, she found herself in the middle of it all.
And we basically had to, like, run out of the school with the SWAT team pointing their guns at us, and we got onto, like, the road that's in front of the school, and everyone's kind of just standing around, like, calling their parents, trying to find their friends. And then my mom is calling me, and she's trying to, like, get to me somehow, and the police are blocking her. I mean, everything was so confusing. Like, it was just, like, a blur, and it was, like, devastating, and it was really crazy. Eventually, my mom was able to get to me, and she was, like, hysterically crying when she got me, and I asked her, I was like, why are you crying? Like, we're okay now.
Even to this day, to this moment, it doesn't feel real. As real as it is, I don't think it'll ever fully process that I lived through that, I experienced that, I survived that.
It is, like, really hard to describe that feeling, but it's just, like, being completely crushed, and, like, it was something that I could not wrap my head around, and I never thought I would have to wrap my head around. And it's just, like, how did I, like, make it out of this? Like, how did this happen? Like, this is Parkland, this is a safe place, and now, like, people that I know are dead.
Danielle and Monique lost close friends, classmates that they had grown up with, coaches that they looked up to, and teachers that inspired them.
They lost people that they loved, people that were important to them, people that they cared about.
I can't imagine having to lose people I love in such a terrible way at such a young age.
But unfortunately, school shootings have been a reality for students across the country for far too long. This podcast is dedicated to the 17 that lost their lives on February 14th. They will never be forgotten.
Next week, we will bring to you the second part of this podcast.
We'll investigate the reaction to the Parkland shooting,
as different students nationwide join to take charge and push back on gun violence.
And we'll get a glimpse into the change that came after Marjory Stoneman Douglas. We express our gratitude to Danielle Gilbert and Monique Miguel for sharing their stories with us.
Special thanks to Sierra and Alexis Jordan, as well as Kaylee Neswick, for connecting us to Danielle and Monique. We would also like to give credit to ABC, CBS, CNN, and NBC for the news clips you heard at the beginning of this podcast. And shout out to producer Maida Kumar. We would also like to say a big thank you to our editor Anne Kane and our mentor Natalie Newcomb.
Check out the rest of our podcasts by subscribing on iTunes,
or go to kuw.org/radioactive.
Follow our Facebook at facebook.com/radioactiveyouthmedia and our Twitter at KUOW Radioactive.
Check out our Instagram at KUOW Radioactive for some cool pics.
For Radioactive, I'm Lila Schroff.
And I'm Jadine Kabahug. Make sure to join us next week for the second half to this podcast.